You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Outkick, the show, boys and girls. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Thursday wherever across this great land you may be. I will be headed up to New York City as soon as I finish Lock It In this evening, this afternoon, and I will be on the Fox News lot, studio, whatever you want to say, all day tomorrow doing a variety of things for Fox News. So I'll be in New York City for the next couple of days. But this is the Thursday edition of Outkick the Show. We got a blockbuster story that just recently dropped. LSU head basketball coach Will Wade on a wiretap allegedly grabbed by the FBI during their investigation into whether or not players were being paid. I'm going to break it all down for you. This is an Outkick special where we go all in on one particular story. I'll work through it. I'll answer your questions. I'll do the best to talk about this story in an intelligent fashion within the context of both NCAA rules, criminal law, LSU basketball ramifications, Will Wade significance, SEC perspectives, all of these different angles. We will dive into here because this is a blockbuster story that was out from Yahoo. I'll read from it. If you have not already read it, I will read you the requisite important parts of the Yahoo Sports story. All right. So before we do that, I want to tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.net. You go there, and provided it's legal in your jurisdiction, if you want to jump in and use the code CLAY50, they'll give you a 50% signing bonus. You can also play in their free $50,000 bracket challenge that I have been advertising on radio. Again, mybookie.net, CLAY50, sign up today. All right, let's go into this story. If you don't know this story, Yahoo Sports, this is their headline, and I'm going to read the requisite parts that are important. Exclusive. Wiretap reveals LSU coach Will Wade discussed recruiting offer with hoops scandal middleman. All right? This is an FBI wiretap. This is from Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, and Dan Wetzel at Yahoo Sports. Three heavy hitters. You guys know we have Dan Wetzel on Yahoo Sports national columnist. We have him on the radio show regularly. This is a big story, and this is a big allegation that just dropped a couple of hours ago. Okay, here is the open. A 2017 phone conversation intercepted by the FBI between LSU coach Will Wade and basketball middleman Christian Dawkins features Wade speaking freely about a, quote, strong-ass offer he made in the recruitment of a prospect. On part of the call, Wade expresses frustration that a third party affiliated with the recruitment had yet to accept Wade's offer. Instead, a verbal commitment to LSU was being delayed because Wade theorized he hadn't given the third party a big enough piece of the pie in the deal and instead tilted the offer towards the player and his mother. All right? Here are direct quotes, according to Yahoo Sports, from, again, the transcript of an FBI wiretap. All right? I was thinking last night on this Smart thing. Smart is a number 50 overall recruit that committed to LSU. He's a freshman, averaging 11 points a game. I'll be honest with you. I'm expletive tired of dealing with this thing. Like, I'm just expletive sick of dealing with the expletive. Like, this should not be that expletive complicated. No elaboration on what the Smart thing is, but Javonte Smart is currently a freshman guard at LSU, formerly a top 50 recruit from Baton Rouge. Here we continue. Dude, Will Wade said, I went to him with a expletive strong ass offer about a month ago. Expletive strong. The problem was, I know why he didn't take it now. It was expletive tilted toward the family a little bit. It was tilted toward taking care of the mom, taking care of the kid. Like, it was tilted towards that. Now, I know for a fact he didn't explain everything to the mom. I know now he didn't get enough of the piece of the pie in the deal. It was a expletive hell of a expletive offer, hell of an offer, especially for a kid who is going to be a 2 or 3 year kid. Smart is averaging 11.4 points per game for LSU season. Okay, this is significant because it's rare that a head coach is ever caught up in an FBI wiretap sting. All right, let's begin there. Yahoo Sports has previously reported that that Will Wade will be subpoenaed and forced to testify in a criminal trial in April. That subpoena has not yet arrived, but the trial is set. All right? So, this is, I think, a big, huge story. Let me explain several things. I don't think, unless LSU just says, screw it, we don't care at all, we know we're screwed, we're going to go ahead and let Will Wade finish out the year, they're going to take away all of our banners and put us on probation no matter what, I don't think you can let Will Wade coach another basketball game. Now, some of you are saying, how does this relate to the story from ESPN about Sean Miller? This story is different because it specifically quotes from a wiretap transcript. If I were going to defend Will Wade, I think he's only got a couple of defenses here. I will lay them out. I don't think any of them are very helpful in an NCAA context. One, he can argue the Shaggy defense, it wasn't me. He can just say, I don't know who was on that transcript, but it wasn't me. Remember, we're reading the transcript. This would be audio that they would be able to play. So we're reading the transcript of a wiretap. There would also be audio. Okay? So he could go with the Shaggy defense of, it wasn't me. Usually the Shaggy defense doesn't work very well when we have credible information. Somebody would be able to testify this was his voice if necessary, all of those things. You could testify what number you called. You could look at phone records. He'd have to pretend that somebody else picked up his phone, pretended to be him talking about making offers to players, and that it wasn't actually him, okay? That's one defense. A second defense that he could offer is, when I was making an offer, I meant that we were telling we'd have a really good dorm room, and our meal plan was fantastic, and that our cost of attendance scholarship offer was extraordinary, and that I was willing to take him when nobody else was willing to take him. He could argue the offer to the mom was that they were going to give her great seats for every game, and also that the kid part was also there. He could argue that he didn't specifically say any dollar amounts, and he wasn't talking about buying a player, and he was just frustrated because he was trying to recruit a guy, and he wasn't able to come. All right? That is secondary defense number two. The third defense he could offer is he could say, I don't think that I did anything wrong here because based on this conversation, it was all hearsay. I wasn't even aware who I was talking to. This was inappropriately recorded. Like, there are a lot of different angles he can hit. Here's the challenge. Here is the challenge indeed. In a larger context, I think he is in major, major trouble. Because if you think about other people who have been severely punished in these stories, this doesn't have to hold up in a court of law. We're not even talking about the fact that he's going to be subpoenaed potentially, according to Yahoo Sports, and be quizzed about this under oath on the witness stand, which would raise the possibility of perjury, which would be a criminal charge, and potentially put him into jail. We're not even talking about all of that right now. We're just talking about NCAA infractions. And so far as I can remember, in all the stories I've read about NCAA infractions, I have never heard of the FBI having a coach on wiretap talking about making a fucking good offer to a player in the history of college athletics. Now, this is a large issue here. The NCAA usually doesn't have any kind of evidence like this when it comes to a player or a coach, particularly a head coach, being caught like this. All right? It doesn't actually ever happen that this is the reality. Okay? So this is a major issue that LSU is facing. I don't believe they're going to allow Will Wade to coach any more games. If they do allow Will Wade to coach any more games, it's a messy situation for the SEC because the SEC is right now run by Greg Sankey, who has regularly sat on the Committee on Infractions and will be very, very familiar with NCAA violations and how people respond to them. All right? A lot of people want to give me other precedents and other cases. In general, there's not an easy precedent here because usually the head coach does not have this clear of evidence against them of paying players, which is the number one rule you're not supposed to violate in the NCAA rulebook. Now, a couple of things. I am with you. Yeah, I haven't even read any of the comments. But if you're in the comments right now and you're saying, why is the FBI involved in this case to begin with? I'm with you. I get it. I don't agree with this. You can go back and watch many of these shows or listen to my radio show over the years. It doesn't make any sense to me that the FBI devoted the resources that they did to this case. I don't agree with the FBI bringing fraud charges and putting anybody in prison over this either. But the FBI made the decision to do it. A jury heard all this evidence and effectively codified NCAA rules as a fraud charge justification and is putting people in jail for helping to pay college basketball players. That is my belief in general, okay? On top of that, I also understand that the perspective on whether or not you're paying players, a lot of people are of the belief that that is a played out mechanism and that it doesn't make sense to continue to have those charges even out there. I agree with you as well, okay? All of this is very valid. I agree with you. Those are larger NCAA issues that don't go to the essence of this story right here, okay? So, I believe that Will Wade has coached his final game at LSU. I think he's probably, if subpoenaed, going to have to take the fifth on the witness stand if he has to testify and can't get this subpoena quashed and if the criminal trial ends up happening. But I don't believe there's any way that LSU will allow Will Wade to continue to coach for them, and I think there's probably a decent chance that they're going to have to sit smart over these allegations that he was paid. I think this also opens up the larger context of this recruiting class, which was top five, how many other players might have been paid, and also what other transcripts and wiretap conversations are out there. That's why you have to be careful in responding if you're Will Wade, because you might get caught in a lie as well because you're not aware of what other evidence the government has. Okay, that is all the background. What questions do you guys have about this story in general or the larger context surrounding it? Okay? What questions do you have? Stop being dumb, all right? This is what I will say now. I'm going to look over and I'm going to start blocking dumb LSU fans. If you wonder whether or not you have a bias, if you wonder whether or not you have a bias, if you are an LSU fan right now, imagine what you would be saying if Yahoo Sports had come out with the exact same story involving Nick Saban. Every single LSU fan on the planet would be saying, I knew Nick Saban was dirty. All this proves it. This is undeniable. This is the most open and cut case I have ever seen. This is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a clear violation of NCAA rules, so long as the transcript is accurate. So if you are going to attack this story, the only way you can really attack this story is by saying, I don't believe that Yahoo Sports' report here is accurate. A lot of people want to talk about Sean Miller, but if you remember that ESPN report, it didn't specifically reference the transcript that involved Sean Miller. Here, if Yahoo is quoting directly from a transcript, they either have the transcript that they have been provided to them, or they have listened to the tapes themselves and transcribed it. We're talking about Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, and Pete Thamel. You may not like any of those guys, but none of them have ever had a story blow up in their face before. Okay? This is a cataclysmic story for LSU basketball, and if you are not recognizing that it is a cataclysmic event, you are, I would submit, in total denial. Okay? What other questions? Give me some intelligent questions here that are going on. Remember that the SEC has even gotten involved in providing their own penalties in cases of NCAA violation. Bruce Pearl got a multi-year show cause that was added to by the SEC for lying about a barbecue. Lying about a barbecue or a cookout for the barbecue truthers out there. There's no way they can go easy on Will Wade. All right? And I'm going to have to block this guy because for some reason he thinks that the score of a basketball game is impacting my opinion here. This is not the case at all. If I were the, this is a good question. If you were the AD at LSU, what would you do today? It's a really good question. First of all, I'm sure that there is a major conversation going on between LSU and the SEC, and everybody is looking at this story. In most cases, when an allegation of this severity comes out, what I would expect is that Will Wade will be suspended pending an investigation. And usually why you suspend someone pending an investigation is because you want to get your ducks in a row so that you can fire the coach for cause and not have to worry about whether or not you are behaving too quickly. So when you have an allegation of this severity that's levied, typically what would happen is your coach would be suspended pending the investigation. So would the player who is named in this article, Smart. Both of those guys would be suspended pending an investigation. Now, what happened in Arizona last year was that Sean Miller was suspended pending an investigation, and then Arizona brought him back. And that was because there was no documentation that was able to be provided to support the allegations against Sean Miller. But remember, Sean Miller is reportedly being subpoenaed as well, so he may still end up losing his job a year later. So I think what will happen, the next step, if I were following what typically happens in this story, is what usually happens is immediately you get a suspension pending an investigation. LSU would open a wider investigation, and they would never allow Will Wade to come back, and eventually he would be fired for cause, which would mean LSU would owe nothing in terms of penalty. The NCAA would then come in, get access to all these FBI wiretaps, everything else, and levy probably a pretty substantial penalty against the LSU basketball program. In the meantime, some of you are saying, well, what happens here during the NCAA seating? That's a really, really difficult question. Because if LSU comes out and still plays well, and they don't have any more suspended players, and LSU fans may have a better idea who would be the interim coach, because what you'd have to be careful about is not naming an interim coach who's also named in the investigation. But whoever becomes the interim coach, LSU is going to be the overall number one seed in the SEC basketball tournament, which would mean that they still might win the SEC basketball tournament overall. And then the NCAA would have to make a determination, how do we seed this team? I would think it would knock them down somewhat over not having Will Wade, even if they were to win the SEC basketball tournament. For the SEC, I think right now the SEC hopes that Tennessee wins against Auburn, because at least if Tennessee wins against Auburn, you have co-champs for the season in the event that LSU's season later gets vacated or wiped out, which would mean there's no champion of the regular season for purposes of the history books. So at least if Tennessee were to win against Auburn, both teams would finish 16-2 and you would have a co-championship situation. So if LSU eventually gets wiped out, you don't have a year where you played the entire season and there's no regular season basketball champion. Questions out here. Will Wade, again, there's been a lot of smoke around Will Wade for a while, ever since this investigation started. Do I think he's behaving in a way that is different than a lot of what other programs do in NCAA basketball? No. No, I don't. I think a lot of guys get paid. The difference is most guys don't get paid and have their head coach caught on an FBI wiretap, which again circles back to my point of, I don't think the FBI should have ever been involved in this case to begin with. And I've said that for years, ever since this story started to break. Having said that, if you get caught on a wiretap talking about making substantial offers to players, and it's your voice and you are on a wiretap, I think it's an ugly situation. If LSU doesn't admit to anything, NCAA will not do anything. You're wrong. You're wrong there. You're wrong there. You're wrong there. LSU doesn't have much of a defense if there are audio tapes of Will Wade making offers to players and talking about the offers that he made to players. I don't think there's any doubt. Is that wiretap legal? Well, you could potentially challenge it, certainly. You can always challenge a wiretap and argue that the warrant that was given to allow the wiretap to be taking place was not, in fact, an accurate warrant, and that it shouldn't have been granted given the evidence. But that's a criminal trial defense, not a NCAA tournament defense. Does that make sense? Rules of law don't apply in the same way in NCAA cases. Usually the NCAA has no subpoena power. But that's what's going on there. No similarity with Cam Newton. Some people want to ask about Cam Newton. There's no similarity here. There was never, to my knowledge, everybody else stop here and let me know. Can anybody else ever remember a head coach caught on a wiretap making an offer or bragging about an offer to a recruit before? Usually head coaches insulate themselves and don't get involved in paying players. That's something that lower level assistants do. And that's why the NCAA changed the rule to say, no. You can't argue that you're clean and that you had no idea other players were getting caught, getting paid, because you didn't do it yourself. It almost never happens that there is an audio or transcript. And certainly if that were to happen, it almost never happens. It almost never happens that it's directly related with a head coach in the FBI. Because this is as good of evidence as you could possibly get. Because whether the FBI should be involved in this or not, the FBI are experts when it comes to wiretaps. So I think this, again, LSU fans, don't be dumb. Don't be dumb and come in here and all of this. People say, oh, is there proof of the money transfer? You don't have to have proof of the money transfer to find an NCAA violation. All you have is evidence that there was an offer made in excess of a scholarship in order for it to be an NCAA violation. All right? This is important because a lot of people don't understand that. Offering a payment to someone is a violation of NCAA. Offering any benefit in excess of a scholarship is an NCAA violation. So the payment itself is not important in terms of demonstrating that there was an NCAA violation. What Will Wade is on tape doing is plenty to get him fired by LSU and to get him suspended potentially by the SEC if LSU won't step in and do anything here. Because it's a bad look for the conference as well. How could Will Wade be so stupid? He may not be stupid. This may be so commonplace that Will Wade didn't even worry about being involved directly in negotiating. That's about the larger mess that is college athletics. I think what this represents is that Will Wade was just like, this is how business is done, and also that he was a micromanager, that he didn't trust his assistant coaches to be involved here. So I think this is probably evidence of how commonplace decisions like this are. All right, I'm going to block you here. This would be a big story no matter how good LSU is. I understand that if you are a dyed-in-the-wool LSU fan, that you are out there and you're like, this is so unfair, the 1 year while we're good. This would be a big story even if LSU sucked. And I understand people have problems with bias and perspective and stepping back. And to a large extent, the reason why I make the money that I do is because I can look at facts and apply my opinion to the facts in a relatively unbiased and relatively reasonable fashion. That's why I make the money that I do. That's, I think, my number one asset. And that's why I said earlier on this show today, I said, just imagine that Nick Saban was doing this and everything that had been alleged against Will Wade had just come out in a story by Pat Forty, Dan Wetzel, and Pete Thamel. And think about what your action would be. Think about what your reaction would be. If Nick Saban were alleged to have done all of this, LSU fans would be running through like crazy, screaming about how corrupt and filled with liars and how unbelievable everybody at Nick Saban and Alabama were. But as soon as it's your program, you try to dodge back and not allow the facts to apply here. That's the truth. So if you are being the delusional, oh, he made an offer, but there's nothing wrong with making an offer. Like, if you read that transcript and you don't think this is a big deal, put simply, you're delusional. Period. All right? So what I try to do is look at all the facts and apply them. All right, couple more questions, then I got to go do television on FS1 and try to win this gambling show for the week. And then I got to hop on a flight and go to New York City. So I'm running around like this crazy. Should players be allowed to be paid? I think what needs to happen in college athletics, in my opinion, is the NBA should have no age restriction. And you should be able to go pro in the NBA or go pro in minor league basketball. If you want to go to college and play basketball while also having a chance to get an education, that should be your option. But if you want to get paid, I think you should go somewhere else, personally. Because what people don't realize most of them anyway, is that the money that football and men's basketball makes almost all goes to fund scholarships for women and men in sports that are non-revenue producing. So when people say, oh, these players are all making so much money, the universities are not for profit. What they are doing with the vast majority of the money that they make is they are surrounding the players with incredible facilities and incredible tutors and incredible dorms and incredible weight rooms, and they are using the money that they make off football to fund all the other scholarships that exist in the university. And so, in a larger context, the players, it's not capitalism, it's socialism. The players with the most economic value subsidize all the other athletes who decide that they want to go to swimming, or decide that they want to play soccer, or decide that they want to play whatever else it is. They're the ones who benefit off of the excess dollars created by the players' talents. But, and this is key, people root for the names on the front of the jersey in college, not the names on the back of the jersey. In other words, if college basketball was half as good, Kentucky basketball fans are still going to root like crazy for Kentucky, right? It's about the overall name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. And right now, a guy like Zion is a much better value for the NBA after having played at Duke than he is if he had gone to minor league basketball where nobody watched him play. It's a great stat. The number of people who have watched DeAndre Ayton play for the Phoenix Suns this year in national television is a fraction of the number of people who have watched Zion Williamson play for Duke. You are going to college basketball if you are a good player right now in order to build your brand and give yourself an opportunity to make a really good living when you leave and go into the NBA. And the NBA is receiving huge advertising for their players. But my belief is you should be able to go straight into the NBA when you're 18 years old. Because I think just like in baseball, just like in golf, just like in in hockey, in virtually every sport other than football and basketball, you can go pro at the age of 18 and go pro at the highest levels. And so I think that makes the most sense by far. If you enjoyed the show, share it. Probably a more intelligent discussion of this case than you're going to get anywhere else. I appreciate all of you. I am headed right now to go do my television show. Then I'm going to bail, go hop a flight, and be in New York City. I'll tweet out where you guys can watch me on Fox News tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun. Kisses to all of you. My name is Clay Travis. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I will see you guys in the near future. But stay tuned to this Will Wade story. I think much more still to come. See y'all.